Blog Talk Radio.
Those taxes. In this episode of the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, my co-host Sherry Saunders and I talk with whistleblowers Jim Mart Simpson and Jill Simpson, two election integrity specialists. They will explain how the Nevada caucus calendar based on Google Forms and stored in Google Drive Cloud is hackable and has multiple potential access points and maybe some hands in the vote count cookie jar. And we will see if we can bring some things to the light of day. Okay, good morning, co-host Sherry and Dana and Jim. Dana and Jill Simpson, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you, Marcus,
it's going
for
great.
Having us on.
I'm glad to have y'all on. Could y'all tell us a little bit about, now we've seen the debacle that just happened with the other caucus. What are some of the same things that happened in that caucus, mistakes that you've seen in that caucus that are potentially going to happen here, and some of the new things that people have not accounted for with this new system?
Well, Jim here. Let me start by saying we don't fully know what went wrong in the Iowa caucus.
Okay.
We don't have a full detail, and we may never have a full detail. So the question is, what went wrong there, and could the same things or different things happen in the Nevada caucus? All we can do is look at the published reports on how the Nevada caucus is about to be run, and then figure out where the security holes are in that system. And Jill and I have made a start at that. Jill was the one that first looked at the published reports and said, hey, this looks bad, pointed it out to me, and I looked at it and said, yeah, it's bad, all right. So let's talk about the details. Whenever you run an election, it's vital that the people running it appear to be disinterested parties who are not involved in one candidate or the other, and the whole system is visibly not tamperable. Okay? If you think of it this way. If you go to a casino that's run by the mafia, and some card shark is sitting there dealing out the cards in a game of 21. He's got his sleeves rolled up past his elbow, showing that there's nothing up his sleeves. That's the standard of ethics that the mafia shows. And we're not seeing that standard of ethics out of the people running the Nevada caucus. They've got their sleeves fully down, and there could be lots of stuff up their sleeves. I'm about to tell you some details about what could be up their sleeves. Joe, you want to add to that?
I think you're going pretty good, so go ahead.
Yeah, because we all know they got a lot of things up their sleeves, especially trying to stop Sanders.
Right. Right. Well, the first big issue here is the Democratic Party should have turned the whole process over to the state elections people who normally run the election, in my opinion, okay? Because that's what a lot of state political parties do. They run the primary on the same process. It's supposed to be certified voting machines and all that. And there's lots of problems there. Trust me, I'm a big critic of that. But it's better than what we're seeing here for reasons I'm about to get into. Okay? So let's talk about what they're actually doing. Somebody in the Democratic Party created a Google account that's holding something called Google Forms and Google Sheets. So basically it's a spreadsheet with a data entry tool called Forms. So Forms is a way to somewhat structure the information put into it by people out in the field. So you've got a precinct captain who's going to be entering information about the election into a Google form, and all that does is filter the stuff into a spreadsheet. It's just a front end for the spreadsheet. It's to make sure that he puts things like candidate name into the right place instead of somewhere where you put a vote total. Okay? So, what's the problem with that? Well, there's a bunch of problems. First of all the data is held on the cloud on the internet. Okay? That right there should raise hackles. If I'm an outside attacker who's interested in manipulating American elections, okay, I've got a spy somewhere in Google, and I can go tamper with it, and that would be a classic example of a man-in-the-middle attack. Okay, the data goes from one place, it's supposed to go to another, but it gets messed with in the middle. All right? If I'm something like the Russian GRU, the military intelligence, we know is involved in election meddling, I would take the list of every state-level party official, not just the state party chair, but the people under them. I would get the list of all those people for the Democrats and Republicans, and I would hack their computers. I would do phishing attacks or whatever personalized attacks I want to do to take over the innards of their computers and, if possible, their cell phone. And then every time they type a password to something like the Google form or the Google spreadsheet or the Google account tied to those things, now I've got access to the same thing. The written reports on what they're doing says, oh, we're using secured forms and secured Google products. Well, yes, they are, but they're not secured from somebody who's got the password. Okay? The next question is, are the people involved in setting up the election process giving out key passwords to somebody else? And it could be the Russians, it could be the Chinese, it could be reps from one of the candidates, the Pete Buttigieg campaign. It could be George Soros, it could be Michael Bloomberg, who could pay for an army of these types of people.
Right, and we know human beings can be corrupted.
Insider,
and you got somebody with $1 billion. He could easily corrupt, like you said, that one person with passcodes.
Yeah, I'm going to let my wife talk more about the people involved and what they could be doing, because that's her specialty, the human engineering side.
Yeah, Jim, I mean to cut you off.
Going back to the technical.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. I just wanted to ask you this one important question before we go to that.
Yeah.
Remember back 3 years ago, we talked about the situation that happened in Wisconsin. What I wanted to know in all this, do we still have those same three companies over voting electronic machines, and is it still the two, is two of them still located in Huntsville, Alabama?
Well, I'm going to, a lot of those same issues exist, but not in this particular mess. They have put together an even less secure, more security hole riddled mess just to deal with the Nevada caucus and possibly some others, just like they did for Iowa, and then that failed. Okay. Let me pass you over to Jill, okay?
Okay.
She can talk about
the human
connection.
Okay. Hey, thank you for having me on, by the way. I appreciate, Marcus, that you and Sherry are having us on. That said, I think it's important for people to realize that in Nevada, normally the Secretary of State, who is Barbara Kowalski, is supposed to be over elections. However, she this time has basically washed her hands and said, I'm turning it over to the party chief, which is a total disaster. And the reason it's a disaster is the Republicans have three candidates. They have Trump, Mr. Bill Weld, and Joe Walsh. But they have decided not to even have a caucus for the Republicans. They've just announced Trump the winner, which is grossly unfair. And then secondly, they have, in the Democratic primary, they are not following the law up there. Up in Nevada, they have a law that says that any and all elections shall use certified machines. We are talking about a machine that, or system in this case, that is the Google Forms, Google Drive, that is not certified. So all these voters are voting on a machine that is not certified. And that's not the law in Nevada. It says any and all elections shall use certified machines. And that is part of the problem. Why, if we have machines, would we not use them in the caucuses? Now, we have gone through the Iowa caucus, and I helped do the research that traced the perpetrators of the app up there that committed basically what we consider to be crimes on the voters in Iowa. We traced it all the way back to Reid Hoffman, who's the LinkedIn guy, who funded that app that was with Acronym and with Shadow by Tara McGowan. And basically what we have found is that these are the same people that screwed with Roy Moore with the bots in the Doug Jones race that were fake Russian bots. So basically we have a problem in the Democratic Party right now with Tom Perez, who is the chairman of the Democratic Party. He's had 4 years in office, and he's having to put an app or a what he calls Tool T, which is the Google Forms, in 3 weeks together for an election? Really? That's a joke. So basically that is kind of where we're at, is we have two caucuses, the Republican caucus and the Democrat caucus in Nevada, already ran amok because we have the Secretary of State ignoring two other candidates in the Republican caucus, and they're upset. They're like, well, we are entitled to have people vote. And she's like, no, you're not. It's the party's deal. Well, parties should not be running even primary elections. That should be a governmental function. And basically, she has turned the Democratic caucus over to the Democratic Party, and without a doubt, a three-week-old app that's never been tested, that people are just learning since Tuesday of this week, is ridiculous. And nobody is asking who owns this Google Forms. Who is the administrator of this deal? Because that person can go in, and that's a domestic person located here in the United States. Probably the Democratic Party in Nevada has a person designated running the forms who could change everything. So people need to be saying, who owns the Google Forms account? And the press needs to be demanding to know, is it a state entity, which it does not appear to be, based on what the Nevada Secretary of State is saying, that she's hands off? And if not, who is in charge and running the forms? Who's going to be the ultimate person who's over that account, who can go in and audit it, who can go in and make claims that it's been hacked or not been hacked? Who is the security? At this point, there does not appear to be any security. Now, we have seen in recent days that they are saying that they have security, but we know that they don't, because DHS in Washington, D.C. did not certify their program. And so
that's
basically
what I can't under-
they are running an un-
No, I was just going to say that's what I can't under. I was going to say that's what I can't understand. How can they say they're secure and then Tom Perez won't even he won't even say nothing that the situation and the new process they have, and he won't come out and confirm that everything's okay. He's like waiting, just like Harry Reid. He's not going to say anything about it. It's like everybody's just waiting around for this experiment to go through.
That's exactly what it is. It is a three-week in the making experiment for an election that picks the Democratic Party person to oppose Trump. I mean, Perez is completely incompetent. I mean, he should not be 3 weeks beforehand trying out a program that's just been developed. The Iowa program had been developed 4 weeks ago, and it was a joke, too, because it had 3 months in the making of talks, but really only about a month in the actual making of it. And, I mean, basically, it is making the Democratic Party look terribly corrupt.
I never supported Tom Perez.
Issues.
I just thought he was the wrong person then, and it definitely exposes him now.
Yes, I agree 100%. He is completely incompetent. He did not develop the tools necessary to fix the caucuses. We have four caucuses, and we have two more of these to go through. We have one in Wyoming, and we have also one in North Dakota, I believe it is. We used to have 16, but now we're down to just four from what I understand. But I want to say this. Every press person in the country needs to be demanding right now to know from Mr. Perez who is the administrator of the Google Forms program, because that is a potential man in the middle. And who is watching me?
It just seems like,
well,
to me,
point,
that the situation is just ripe for corruption.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I don't know if y'all have seen, but yesterday they put out the screenshots of what the forms are, which is the spreadsheets Jim was talking about. They put them out yesterday, and basically there's going to be precinct captains, and there's like 2,000 locations, but some people are saying they don't have that many precinct captains available. But they're going to have them filling out a form of how people vote when they count
they
the people's
these,
vote.
And aren't they going to get these, like, passcodes and stuff via through their phones or their computers?
Yes, That's what Jim just said.
That is so easy to manipulate.
Oh, if the Russians are involved as a hacktivist, former hacker, I can tell you, the thing is this, is it's going to be very easy for them. All they have to do is fish the state leader of the party, grab his password on a fishing expedition, and then get in his account and see what all the passwords are that are assigned to the precinct captain, by the precinct captains, what they're using in the system. And we'll never know that the Russians changed the total. Now, we can argue weeks later, like they're still arguing Iowa now. But, you know, it's already been announced that even though they don't really know for sure that Pete got two more than Bernie got of delegates. So the fact of the matter is an election occurs. You should have immediate result within hours. We did so in the Bush election. We did so in the Clinton election. We did so in the other Bush election. We did so in the Carter election and Reagan election. Why can we suddenly not get election results? The answer is corruption. So I'm going to let y'all talk back with Jim because I've kind of told you my issues. But I also am very worried about the precinct counting and the ranked voting because, like, if you're voting for Bernie Sanders or you're voting for Pete and he was one of the top two candidates, then you don't get to vote a second time. But these people who pick somebody who's not going to win the nomination, they get to vote two or three times till they get one of the top two. And that's ridiculous, too, because everybody should have one vote.
That's not going to reveal the real winner.
I'm against ranked voting.
Right. That does not reveal the true winner in a situation like that.
That's exactly right. Let me fill you in on something that made me gasp the moment I realized that the core of this was a spreadsheet, okay? I was in computer tech support in big companies from about 1986 to 2000, okay? I did IT support, technical writing, system administration. I was there during a period of major screw-ups between about 1985, it really got rolling, to about 95, and they figured it out. The mistake they were making was actually running a business's finances on spreadsheets, okay? And we're not talking small business, big business. It was all of them. Everybody was doing it. They would also do inventory control by just listing parts, and they were tracking things of actual value. That's a mistake. That's a misuse of a spreadsheet because there is no audit trail in a spreadsheet. It doesn't track who changed what, when, and where. Okay? It was also an era of widespread embezzlement. There's anybody who had access to that spreadsheet could tweak whatever they want, and it wouldn't track what they were doing, and they could get away with murder. The only ones that consistently did not make this mistake were banks. The banks realized early on with computerized tracking of money that you had to track who did what, personalized usernames at every step of the way. Security was absolutely necessary, or they would have got ripped off from moment one. So by about the mid-90s, there were a lot of articles going out in the corporate computing world saying, we're doing too much with spreadsheets. The only thing we should really be doing with spreadsheets in a big way is predicting a business's outcome and doing what-if modeling games. So, for example, you punch in all the income and expenses in a business into a spreadsheet, you can ask a question like, what happens if I drop three employees? What does that do to my bottom line? What happens if I increase sales 2%? And so on and so forth. A spreadsheet's really good at that, but you don't track the actual money of the business or the actual products
or
anything of value. You just don't.
That is so disturbing.
That
is so disturbing, like you said. We could at least we could at least try to see who changed what. You mean you're telling me that someone could go in there and make changes and you can't even trace who did it?
Bingo. That's why this is all a radically, what's the best way to put it? It's inappropriate.
A radical sham.
Use of a spreadsheet. This is crazy. Let me pass
you
Jill
take
for a second.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break and then when we come back on the other side of this break, Sherry Sanders is gonna take over just for a minute. And right after this break, we're gonna come back with Sherry Sanders, and we got about 34 more minutes left in the show, and we wanna make sure that we get these experts and get all the questions answered that we have, because this sounds like a very disturbing event that's about to go down this coming Saturday in Nevada, and we've been warned. We've been warned before. I mean, these two experts came on 3 years ago, not even 30 days after the election of Trump, and they pointed out a lot of the inconsistencies and a lot of the possibilities of things that could have went wrong, and it seemed like it took the world to wait almost a year to catch up to where Jim and Jill was on this matter. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with Sherry Sanders, one of the strongest grassroots mouthpiece here in Alabama. We'll be right back. I don't own the rights to this music, but it's the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show. Let's go. Okay, we're back with
Hello?
Host Sherry Sanders.
All right, folks. We have heard some pretty amazing information this morning excuse me, from Jill and Jim Simpson. Jim, let me bring the first question to you. Jim, back in the 1700s, we held an election for our first president. How long did it take for the results to come in the 1700s to declare Washington the president of the United States as compared to the results that we're getting out of Iowa?
Well, now that's an interesting question. My understanding is at the precinct level, they had not yet invented secret voting. So people in a room would sit there and raise their hand, which was actually somewhat similar to how the Nevada caucus worked. And once they've got a result from one location, now it has to travel by horseback to some central count facility. So that, or maybe by sea in some cases, I don't know. But it took a while. You know, they had immediate results in the precinct.
Well, I guess what I was trying to get at is that in 2020, we can compare the results of our elections now in the way that they are being run by the Democrats in the exact same way that we could compare the elections as far as time in the 1700s and in the 1800s because it is taking an extremely long amount of time to find out who won in Iowa. And so what I would like to ask Jill is, do you believe, Jill, that the reason why Iowa is taking so long to come back with results is so that the results will not show that Pete Buttigieg was in fact assisted with these vote totals, like he has been assisted with the money that he has received for his campaign, similar to Trump with the Russians, that he is receiving money from Russian oligarchs and financial support for his campaign to move Bernie Sanders away from the nomination, which we all know the DNC does not want to have happen. So it appears as if what is happening in Iowa is not so much a cluster as so much as a way to confuse the voters and then get us in a position where we don't care anymore and we just learn to accept that Pete Buttigieg is now the candidate so that we can make sure that Bernie Sanders does not become the candidate to run against what appears to be Donald Trump as the Republican nominee, since Nevada, for example, doesn't feel like the Constitution matters in that anyone who would like to run on the Republican ticket doesn't actually deserve that right, and we'll just go ahead and make a decision unilaterally that Trump is the winner. I mean, normally we will go ahead and wait for the votes to come in, even if they're corrupt, before someone makes that decision, except in Nevada.
Oh, Sherry, I absolutely agree, and that's a great question. Is the Iowa app problem intentional? And I absolutely think 100% that it was intentional. Our research on that was there was this gal named Tara McGowan. She had been a former Clinton operative, and she ran an organization called Acronym that funded the Shadow Group, which was a couple of people who were Clinton operatives. And her husband was Pete's senior strategist, and his brother was the communications director for Pete. And for whatever reason, Tom Perez allowed them to take over the whole entire election with this app that malfunctioned and or intentionally malfunctioned, which caused most of the Democrats in the nation to realize, hey, there's corruption going on. And we see the top vote getter, which was Bernie Sanders, who won 6,000 more votes than Pete, who got to have votes recounted and recounted through this vote ranking crap that they've come up with. And basically now Pete supposedly gets 18 or 17 and Bernie gets like 15 or 16, depending on how the results eventually fall. And, of course, that turns off the voters. And that also turns off the independent voters who are of the mindset, why vote if the system is rigged and my votes aren't going to count anyway? And you start looking at the numbers of people turning out to vote,
And it's ridiculously low. The people, there's more people not voting than are voting in both of the caucuses. I mean, it's crazy in each state that the people who are not voting outnumber all the people who are voting. So, I mean, it's a bad situation that we've got going on right now. But the real thing is this, is we are seeing the rigging as it happens come apart. And, I mean, you know, if I had been Tom Perez, I would have resigned immediately after the Iowa debacle. But instead, he decided to stay in. And now he has thoroughly messed up Nevada because, I mean, ultimately he tried to claim, oh, the Iowa deal was the chairman. And the chairman, he resigned. He had the decency to resign, but he let it be well known that he had gone over everything with Tom Perez and before he resigned and that had gotten the okay. So the moral of the story is where does the buck stop? And the buck stops on these elections with Tom Perez. And if he has another failure, which we believe he will in Nevada, he's already, the story this morning out in Nevada is don't expect the votes to be counted on Saturday. There won't be any results. Well, there should be. I mean, these are people in a room who agree to a candidate, so why shouldn't those results be immediately announceable within hours afterwards? And the reason why is ultimately Tom Perez. And we know Tom is corrupt. We've watched him in his stunts. He's pulled in Alabama coming down here and taking over our state party. And he will do or say anything to control the election for the candidate in which he wants to win, which I don't believe Tom is really wanting Buttigieg to win. I think his candidate was Bloomberg, if you want to know the truth. And messing up the Iowa election was done because Bloomberg then could not be in the Iowa election. So messing it up and saying it's a mess kind of leaves it quite much open.
Right. Basically giving Bloomberg some time.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't it
some time?
Isn't the question of the day also like where is Waldo? Where is Hillary Clinton? Because the information that I'm seeing is that Bloomberg perhaps hitched his wagon up with the Clinton wagon last year, or maybe perhaps 2 years ago, to make a plan for this election, since he came out to apologize for his stop and frisk policy. I noticed that with that apology that he made with that stop and frisk, that he didn't also talk to the brand new mayor there in New York and say that perhaps some of those people need to be cleared of their criminal record, considering he was a part of that stopping and frisking and arresting that took place. So the plan, in order to include Hillary Clinton as a runmate for Bloomberg, so
that
she gets her opportunity again.
I don't think he's that well. That would be a losing strategy because the black community, there's a large portion of the black community that will never support Hillary Clinton. I know because I'm one of them. But I think Bloomberg is a little bit smarter than that. He get Hillary Clinton, he's really in some trouble. He's going to turn out Trump's base. Number one, with Hillary Clinton running back. Number two, there's some African Americans that's not going to vote for Hillary Clinton no matter what the stakes are. And that's just sad, but it's true.
Well, Marcus, it doesn't really matter how many. Marcus, it doesn't matter how many African Americans vote for Hillary Clinton and Bloomberg, because if the computers are rigged, if the voting system is rigged, it wouldn't matter if no one voted for if it is going to be a Clinton Bloomberg ticket, because at the end of the day, it's going to be a vote total that is manipulated. So that was my question to Jill and Jim. Do y'all believe this is a Clinton collaboration with the Bloombergs in order to make this happen?
I don't think Hillary, if he announced something like that, that would be terrible. Because his stop and frisk was nowhere near as bad as Bill and Hillary Clinton's three strikes you out, young black teenagers are predators. That whole bill that Joe Biden was involved in as well, that whole deal is, it did a big destruction upon the black family. And the conscious community is just not going to tolerate no Hillary Clinton thing. And that, he would be very stupid. He may do it. I don't know. He may be stupid enough to do it or think he's got enough money to do it. But you combine Bloomberg with his stop and frisk, and you combine Hillary Clinton with their three strikes and all the laws they put out that really broke up the black family and black community, you can't tell me that's going to be a winning strategy. That would be ludicrous. But I guess
I
because of money, you might think you can make it happen regardless, but he needs to understand the deep sentiment in the conscious community about who really broke up the black family, and that's Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Well,
good point.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, and I agree with you, Marcus, 100%. But here's what I think is going to happen. So they made the Iowa election look complete shambles. They have put on stage all of these candidates, and each of them's attacking each other, and it looks like a jumbled mess to some extent. And these repeated debates over and over where they're just personal and attacking each other is turning people off. How many
right.
debates do we need? I think we've got too many. Now we're going to Nevada. Nevada is going to be complete chaos, so you know. And what they are really after, what Tom Perez is really after, is having the whole Democratic Party psyche at the end going, this is just a gigantic cluster mess. And so what are we going to do? And the gist of it is they are going to attempt to broker the convention. And that is when Bloomberg and Hillary walks in and steals the show. If we don't get rid of Tom Perez now, we are going to have a brokered convention. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
If Hillary Clinton is involved in anything with the presidency, we're going to have a low voter turnout. It's going to make it way easier for the hackers and the Russians and everybody else to do their job, because they're just not going to come out for Hillary Clinton. And they're just not going to do it. They're just not going to do it. As, you know, he may do it thinking that's a power move. He may think that's a power move, but that will hurt the maximum turnout. You know, it's going to be some African-Americans
who are
going to be excited to say, hey, let's go ahead and do it. But I'm telling you, my feel that I get in the black conscious community, they're glad she's out of the way, and they do not want to see her come back.
Well, you may be correct on that, and I give you that. But here is the problem. Basically, we're going to have delegates dispersed all over the place. And so that being the issue, Bernie is polling at around a third, 30, 29, 30, 33, so say a third percentage. That is not enough votes of delegates to win on the first round of voting, which throws us then into a brokered convention. Tom Perez has picked a list of people to be the super delegates. And, you know, we thought we'd get rid of super delegates, but they only get to vote on the second round. And there's going to have to be a second round. That's why Elizabeth Warren, Biden, Buttigieg, now Bloomberg and Amy, they're all staying in on Bernie's deal when Bernie is clearly the choice and he's getting over a third of the Democratic Party. They're all staying in so that it will be a brokered convention. At the brokered convention, anybody can come in.
If you look at the superdelegates, they belong to Hillary Clinton. If you look at all the committees, they belong. And if you watch Hillary Clinton, she's already throwing off on Bernie, saying nobody likes him, which is a lie, and doing all kinds of things to stop Bernie from progressing.
Right, and the black community, we haven't forgot also what Hillary Clinton did in the last election. She did not want Nina Turner to speak, and I really didn't like her before then, but when she went out of her way she was not going to let Nina Turner, you know, one of our heroes, she was not going to let her speak. And that really ticked a lot of African Americans off then also as well. Do you remember when she was against Nina Turner speaking at the convention?
Oh, yes.
And that's why I think back then Bernie should have held tight. He should have, and that's one thing Bernie could have done too. He should have held out to Hillary Clinton and not give her his verbal support unless she let Nina Turner speak. And I thought that was kind of crooked Hillary style to try to block a strong black woman in the African-American community from speaking on a stage like that. We still haven't forgotten that either. So she's got a whole lot to answer for in the African-American community. But I believe what you're saying, they could try to pull something out that with her superdelegates and his money and all that. But they better realize they'll suppress the vote more than what they think.
Well, what happened, Marcus, the last time they let a strong African voice speak on a stage? I believe that gentleman got elected president of the United States, and Hillary Clinton didn't think that he would beat her either. So she learned her lesson. She ain't going to make that mistake again. They're not going to let – you can't let that mistake happen twice, Marcus. I mean, come on. This is
– Right. Nina Turner is a tough debater. She is a tough debater.
Exactly. You can't make that mistake twice. I mean, she learned her lesson on the first one.
I tell you what, that's what – and I haven't been – someone asked me this morning on Facebook who was my candidate. I didn't even answer because I don't even have one right now. But I do have I am looking at Bernie. You know, Bernie wasn't afraid. I mean, she's what, the national co-chair of Bernie's campaign? Who else has elevated an African-American female with a strong voice? Now, we've elevated those nice, quiet ones that don't hardly say nothing. They've been elevated long, long, long ago. But how many times do you see a strong African black woman with a strong voice, not afraid to say what needs to be said, elevated by someone else in the power structure? You haven't seen that. And that's what I feel Hillary Clinton did when she didn't want her to speak at that convention. She wanted to mute her voice. She wanted to stall her rising because Nina Turner is rising. And she's basically made it. She's there with Bernie. They're winning. And so I got my eyes kind of on Bernie, but I haven't made my mind up yet. But I say that to say this. I think Perez, man, he sucks. I said it from the very beginning. I did not like this guy. He don't have it. I mean, he's wandering around in the dark. I don't think he knows what the hell he's doing. He either doesn't know what he's doing or he's sabotaging on purpose, or the third option, things are getting sabotaged because of his greed.
Well, Marcus, let's take this moment now. Gio, I wanted to take a moment to ask both you and Jim to take the few minutes that we got left to explain why you said that Tom Perez came to Alabama and what has recently happened with this election insofar as the assistance he has given Doug Jones by breaking apart and pushing out the Democratic leaders that had held this state for many years. Despite what people may think about their politics and their policies and the way that they ran the party here in the state of Alabama, there is no doubt that the national chairman there, Mr. Perez, felt like he needed to come to this state and meddle within our own Democratic Party so that they could change the character of our party here in this state to a Doug Jones Democratic Party, which currently and in the past had not held the leadership roles or the strength in this state. Can you expand on that to explain why you're saying this, that Tom Perez has now affected and there is perhaps once again a campaign that Doug Jones is going to run in an election for that has been manipulated?
Okay, so here's the deal. Nancy Worley was elected president of the Alabama Democratic Party. She has been ran against before by Doug Jones' bunch, never been able to beat her. Then all of a sudden, Tom Perez shows up and says, with Doug Jones and them, hey, we're throwing her out. We're doing a new Democratic Party, and pushes them through. And basically, they're in a lawsuit, and at this point, they're in mediation, as is the Nancy Worley Party of Democrats, the real thing, which we believe she is. And I'm going to tell you, lots of people can say lots of things about Nancy, but under her leadership, and there have been multiple things happen. We've had the governor fired and removed, and I was one of the operatives that helped with that story, and Nancy was the leader of the Democratic Party and did a good job on that. Secondly, we had Senator Luther Strange removed from a position that he got illegally, being an AG and cutting a deal with the governor that we got removed. We helped remove the Speaker of the House, all under Nancy Worley's power. So she was great. And then Doug Jones and Perez and them don't honor that. They're like, Nancy's horrible. She's this, she's that. They come in and they take over the state party. Now, it's well known that Doug Jones got his appointment to the U.S. attorney's job through Billy Clinton. And that being said, he is beholden to Clinton. So we think that he is trying to get in charge of the Democratic Party in Alabama so that he can turn the vote for however Perez wants it turned at a brokered convention and try to make it over easy what is going to go on. However, you got to understand that Bernie Sanders came to Alabama in 2016 and over 10,000 people showed up. There were people outside in Birmingham in 20 degrees weather.
Jill, I was at that. I attended that meeting that he held in Birmingham, and the crowds started lining up at around 3 o'clock. The auditorium, which was right across from the city hall in a Lynn Park, folks, is a historical civil rights park there in Birmingham, Alabama, right smack downtown, right across from city hall. And right across the street was the auditorium where this was being held. And I can assure you that by 3 o'clock, there was already a line of people. And Jill is absolutely right. The temperatures fell that night. It was below 20 degrees. And with the amount of people that were there, I got a seat inside the auditorium. I left the event with about 30 minutes left to walk outside the auditorium, and I went and did some interviews with the public that was standing out watching the big screens in Lynn Park. And once again, folks, in Alabama, below 20 degree weather, it was windy, it was quite chilly, and as a journalist, I will say this, I had not ever before attended a meeting like this from a presidential candidate. So it was my first, folks, but I have not seen so much happiness and excitement to stand in 20 degree weather with high winds since Alabama was playing a football game in 20 degree weather and high winds. The atmosphere, Jill, was of a party. People were happy, and it did not matter that it was cold. They were happy to be there, and they were happy to hear what was being said. And I can also say this. the people that you saw standing in that line was all races, all sexes, all colors, and perhaps all political parties. There was a cross mix of people in those lines, and Bernie's people did a great job of going up and down, making contact with these voters, getting information, allowing them to, I believe it was like an app or something that you could sign on to. I'm trying to remember what that was, but there was something that you could sign on to through your phones. It was a great experience for me, being my first, but I wasn't there to do anything other than just to observe and to see in Alabama what kind of person would come out for the candidate Bernie Sanders, which is not normally would be considered a Alabama candidate. But I will say I have never seen what I saw that night in Birmingham with the people that came out, all ages, all colors, races. It was amazing, and I was glad that I attended, and I just wanted to put that out for the listeners that in Alabama, Bernie Sanders blew it away.
Yeah, I haven't went to any of the events on any of the candidates, but just sitting back looking at it from my own personal opinion, it's going to take somebody that can bring the type of excitement and energy that Bernie Sanders got, because Trump, with all his crazy mess, he is exciting the crazies and some of the people who like that stuff. But we got.
Well,
I
haven't attended a Trump rally yet.
I don't think Joe Biden can do it. I don't think Bloomberg can do it. Hillary Clinton sure as hell can't do it. She didn't do it the last time in high, you know, African American areas. So how she's going to do it now? So, like I said, I'm just taking a look at it, and right now I haven't decided on a candidate, but I'm looking more toward Bernie Sanders. I like what I see. Maybe Elizabeth Warren's light attack on him last night, I think that would make a good choice, you know, Bernie and Elizabeth, either Bernie and Amy would make a good thing. I'm just not, I couldn't see myself supporting Buttigieg. I just can't do it. I can't do it.
I want Bernie and Nina Turner. That's the ticket I want. I want Bernie and Nina Turner.
That's
a strong ticket.
That right there would bring them out probably in the South too. You know, she's right there in Ohio. She would bring out the South. African-American, she could bring that out.
I don't know why Bernie don't go ahead and announce before he heads to the South that Nina is deserving and she has led this movement and that she should be on the ticket. That will turn
and
out all
served,
the black women that voted
Congress.
For Doug Jones. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. Nina, it should be the second person on that ticket. And I'm going to tell you that would excite the black community,
right.
And we would be done with this election.
She probably,
we would mock
a move like that
up.
Would probably wipe Joe Biden out if he made a move like that before South Carolina. He would be in
I know,
serious.
And
he
needs to go
now.
Ahead.
He would be the win.
He needs to go ahead and do it. And I'm going to tell you, as regards Nina Turner, thank God for that woman. She is the backbone of the Democratic Party right now. She, if she isn't his vice president, she ought to be the chairman of the party. Because let me tell you something. She is the woman who saved Iowa. And people don't realize this, but she had all the people videotaping with their phones, the results and everything like that. She is the person who knew when they were cheating with that out that they were cheating. And she reported
it
to the citizens. She's on it. And let me tell you something. Part of the reason of us doing this radio show is to make sure that Nina and them know that we have got to out before the election in Nevada who the administrator is. everybody, if the Democrats want to be transparent, then they should tell us everything. Jim and I spent the last week making them be transparent. We worked with reporters to ask questions of them of what this tool key they were using was in Nevada. Why didn't they just come out and say outright they were using Google Forms? I'll tell you why. They know that Google Forms is hackable. They know that the forms goes to the Google Drive, which is the cloud. And you can go on the Internet and type hackable Google Drive instructions, and it will tell you how to stop a hack because it happens so often.
Right.
And so the
I was just going to say, this time it's not going to be some fat guy sitting in his basement. It's going to be Tom Perez and all his inept shenanigans. If this goes terribly wrong Saturday, that should be cause to get him out.
Yeah, and if we don't get him out now, we're going to have a brokered convention. And I'm going to tell you why. He got caught 2 weeks ago. In 2018, Bloomberg gave $900 million to the Democratic Party. About a month ago, before he decided he was going to run, he gave $300 million. So he is a big, gigantic donor. And they set up Tom Perez an exit package. And he, for the exit package, is going to get a big sum of money after the election. But we outed it, and it's been outed. So now he's now saying, oh, I'm not going to take the exit package. But I need to let y'all talk to Jim one more minute because I'm fixing to run out of time. And I think y'all might want to hear from Jim as the closing.
Okay.
The only thing I would add to all of that is besides she gets shenanigans inside the Democratic Party, which she knows more about than I do, I don't count the damn Russians out. I'm sorry.
Right. You better not. You better not.
Here's something about Jill's story that a lot of people don't understand. Is a lot of people know that she went on an interview with 60 Minutes in 2007, and then was actually aired in 2008, okay? And in that interview, there were two things that she focused on. One was Karl Rove and certain evil Republicans are up to no good, especially regards wrongful criminal prosecutions of Alabama Democrats, okay? Everybody knows about that because that's what the 60 Minutes focused on. But the other thing that Jill said in that interview that all got left on the cutting room floor was the Russians are coming. And the Russians were coming specifically to Republican politics. What they were doing is taking Russian mafia figures. They were doing funky business dealings, some legitimate looking, some real shady, with either American politicians, especially Republicans, or their family. And they were getting involved in these shady deals. And honestly, I got to say that the whole Hunter Biden thing looks like some of the same things she saw among the Republican Party back in 2005, 2006, 2007 in increasing numbers. But what she saw was Russians meddling with American politics by infiltrating. If they couldn't infiltrate the politicians, they'd infiltrate the family. Okay? And they would get them involved in business deals that maybe look legit at first, but got sketchier and sketchier until they own you because you are now involved in business dealings with the Russian mafia that are obviously illegal. You should never have done that, but now that you've done that, and if they reveal it, your days as an American politician are done. Okay? So they were owning people en masse. And that pattern continues with Trump, in my opinion, my personal opinion. But in any case, we're not going into detail there. It's off topic. The Russians started meddling with American elections through human subversion, but they then switched to, in addition to that, technical means. We know that now, okay? And when you leave a system as open as what they're doing in Nevada, you invite those boogers straight into your election. So, you know, we could end up with a contest between Tom Perez and the Russians, and you might as well have cheerleaders for each side as far as who can hack the election the wildest. It's madness. It's absolute insanity.
But, well, do y'all think this had any, I have one question, Jim. I just want to throw it out to you guys. Back when George Bush was given the election over, what was Clinton's? Al Gore. Yeah, I apologize. I forgot Gore's name. When that happened and took place, the technology that we're using today for the voting and the apps and the things that y'all are discussing wasn't in existence just yet because we weren't there yet with digital.
Wait a minute. A lot of it was. Okay, you had early voting machines in 2000 that mattered, especially Volusia County. There was a big mess happened there on what became Diebold Election Systems voting machine. At that time, Diebold hadn't yet bought them. They were still global elections. But those were high-tech voting machines that scanned paper ballots. But even once they were scanned, they were able to manipulate results. And we know that manipulation of somewhere around 14,000-something votes happened in Volusia County, a very crude hack. It was designed to convince Al Gore to concede on election night. And that hack got discovered just minutes before Al Gore called George W. Bush for a concession. And, you know, Gore had picked up the phone to call Bush, and somebody said, wait a minute, we found 14,000 negative votes for you in Volusia County. And he hung up the phone and said, say what? Or words to that effect. Some conversation about like that happened. So this has been going on for a while, but it's getting crazier because now the party is using their own weird homebrewed system that's had zero security analysis. I mean, just, I might even say worse than none, because as far as I can see, using Google Forms and Google Spreadsheets on the cloud, you might as well have designed it to be manipulated. That's not an accident. That's, anybody who knows IT stuff would gasp in horror. They did what? Gotta be kidding me. Anyways, let me pass it to Jill for my last thought.
Okay. My last thought is this, is that Tom Perez is completely incompetent and needs to be forced to resign. If he messes up Nevada to where you cannot get the results on the day after having 4 years for this to be his job, he should have to resign. He should not keep his job. It is time for the man to resign, and it's also time to remove all the people that he put on the platform committee, none of which are progressive. When the progressives are showing up the best in the country, everyone knows that Bernie Sanders has consolidated one-third of votes, and we don't have a single person on that platform committee that Tom has put out. So, I mean, I'm just going to tell you, this is a man-in-the-middle operation. When I came forward in 2007, within a year of that, I pretty much was in contact with people in the Democratic Party and explained to them the Republican man-in-the-middle deal, which was Mike Connell. Well, now we have caught a man-in-the-middle operation because we caught the administrator, who we still don't know who it is, who is operating this Google form, who was not transparent, waited till the last week on a 3-week deal to tell us about it, and we need to demand the Democratic Party immediately tell us who the man in the middle is and who owns this Google Forms program system that's doing the voting. And we need them to explain to us why they are using a low-tech operation, which they seem to be proud about because they just said, oh, we're so happy this is a low-tech deal. And there's nothing to be proud about having a low-tech deal not protecting the security of the voters after we saw Russian hacks in the system in all 50 states in 2016. They need to explain why he came up with this deal having 4 years, folks, to determine how to vote so that it was secure. And he waits till the last 3 weeks, comes up with a system that's easily hackable. We need to put him on the fast train out of the Democratic Party leadership. He needs to be over at the end of this week when the system fails. And you can bet your boots it's going to fail. They're already announcing that they are not going to be able to announce the vote the night of the vote. Think about it. And it's what the Democrats need to do and determine one result, and that is demanding and protesting at the national DNC office that Tom Perez be fired or forced to resign because of his incompetence in fairly seeing that the votes be counted. I mean, we look like a crooked party now, thanks to Tom Perez, when it's the good citizens trying to vote fairly for a person, and we can't even get the proper tools out of the national party. And the reason we can't, in my opinion, is because he is intentionally cheating. Because otherwise, why would he not have developed tools over the last 4 years that were not hackable? That's my opinion.
Well, Jill,
he's not
showing
the ethics of a Vegas gambler.
I agree with everything you guys are saying. I think this has been instituted so that at the broker convention, Bloomberg and Clinton can slide in. I think it's intentional that they are not putting Hillary, or Hillary is not putting herself out in the public in front of cameras. What happened before? She failed. She had medical emergencies. They had to use body doubles at times because she couldn't come out in front of the street. She wasn't feeling right, coughing, this or that. Something was going on, and I don't think that her health is good for her to be back out on the trail. I mean, Bernie bounced back after a heart attack, and he seems to be clicking right along. But Hillary, her health is at such a place that she can't take the day-to-day work of being the candidate, but she don't mind at all swooping in when it's done and over with after being brokered at this convention. So from start to finish, I agree, that Tom Perez is a problem. And a bigger problem on top of this is, why hasn't the true voices, and I mean true Democrats, those who understand what the Democratic message is, why have those people not stepped forward and spoke out in their own party, perhaps against their friends, neighbors, and explain that they are tearing and ripping apart an entire party, so that at some point, those folks who feel a certain way about their Democratic Party will feel like they have no choice but to step away from the Democratic Party and start a new one. What reason, Jill and Jim, do you think that the true Democrats that have honor and integrity, why have they not come out and said what is happening before it gets to the point that they're going to have to step away and maybe create a Tea Party Democrat like we have the Tea Party Republicans here in Alabama?
I think because of Bloomberg's $900 million that he already donated, and no telling how much he is going to be donating to people to save whatever. I mean, the guy has so much cash. He's a rich oligarch. And so, I mean, can he buy the convention, a brokered convention, is going to be the question. Are we not dealing with just another Trump-like character is what I keep asking myself. And in reality, this guy's a lot worse than Trump because Trump is a little teeny tiny oligarch. He's just, you know, a couple of billion dollars here or there. You know, he's an under 10 billion oligarch. Bloomberg is a 60 plus billion oligarch. And I think that is a real problem. And I mean, most people don't know, and I'm just going to tell and throw this out there. Additionally, and we can do this on a later story, Jim and I are now back rolling, so we're going to have to go. But, you know, Bloomberg's parents are from the Soviet Union, his grandparents. His grandfather was Alex Bloomberg, and he was a Russian immigrant here to the States. And his grandmother's people were from Belarus, which was behind the Iron Curtain as well. So, and we know that Bloomberg has a friendship while he was the mayor with Vladimir Putin. I mean, he was giving him gifts that has been documented up in the newspapers and stuff like that. So, I mean, it is very possible that we will have two candidates very tied to the Russian government if Bloomberg and Trump both make it into the final election. And I don't know, Bloomberg had a lot of ties to the Sokolova Foundation as well that transferred a lot of their technology at the intelligence unit to Russia. So we have real concerns about Bloomberg being the candidate, but that can be covered on another day. But right now, Tom Perez is angling, in Eric's opinion, for a brokered convention.
Well, folks, you've heard it here. Jill and Jim March Simpson has come on today and explained what is happening with the voting situation in Nevada. They have given a very simple explanation as to how that this is happening. So the question is, to the listeners to this show, the question is this. Are you willing to allow this to continue to happen while you sit on the sidelines and just wait for these people to make the decision on who is going to rule you in Washington, D.C.? Is this the time, is this the place that Americans can finally wash their hands of the corruption that is in Washington, D.C. when it comes to politicians who have maybe more money than we do and more contacts than we have? At what point, America, at what more do you need to see here in America before you take the opportunity to stand up and fight for the country that was stood up for a couple of hundred years ago? We just had a President's Day just last week. Just a couple of hundred years ago, folks, people with a pitchfork and a gun that took 2 minutes to load stood out in the rain and the snow being shot at in no clothes, no wear clothes. They didn't have boots. They were struggling, starving to death. They stood out and fought against the imperial government and the British colonies, the queen, the king, and created what has become our country. The United States was created over a few people who decided to stand up and fight back against corruption. They didn't want to pay taxes to someone across the pond who didn't even know what they were dealing with here.
folks, do you want to continue to pay taxes to someone across the pond? I mean, it's bad enough that our legal system is owned by the British bar. I mean, you got to – we at some point, America, what do you have to have happen? Or is it at this point – let me follow that up with this final statement from me. Is it at this point, folks, that we should just go ahead and come out and declare whether or not we want to be a communist? Because if that is the case, if you no longer want to be an American and have a democracy or a constitutional government, then let's go ahead and declare ourselves either communist or elect a king or put a dictator in place so that we don't have to worry about having these elections and so that these people like Tom Perez don't have to work so hard to make the elections corrupt so that it goes their way to begin with. Let's just either we're going to fight for what our country needs to be, or let's just go ahead and save the time and the effort and the money and decide to be communist or appoint a king, a monarchy, or a dictator and be done with it so that we can get back to watching TV and playing word games on our phone. That's the point. And Marcus, I don't know where you feel and where you stand, but I mean, that's where we are today. At some point, we got to stand up or we got to shut up. You either stand up or you shut up, and that's what I have to say for the Grassroots Mouthpiece show that we have today. What are you going to do, America? You just listened to some of the this nation's, not only are they courageous heroes, they are the experts, and they've just explained to you in quite simple terms how this is happening. So now that you have this information, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit down and take it? Or are you going to stand up and fight back? Marcus, take it away. Ah, well, it looks like Marcus is not going to take it away. So I'll finish the show. Jim and Jill, I want to thank you guys for coming to the Grassroots Mouthpiece Organization show today. I cannot thank you guys enough for giving us this opportunity to out this information. And next week, folks, we were going to have this show again. We're going to bring you right back next week, folks. Jim and Jill are going to explain how the Nevada caucus goes down. So,
okay, we'll do that in Fraction Report. All right.
Absolutely, Jim. It's called an AAR, folks, an After Action Report. So next week, you're going to catch us here on the Grassroots Mouthpiece Organization. Marcus Eccles and Sherry Saunders is going to come back and talk to Jim and Jill, and then they're going to give us an update on the information they provided today. So, folks, I go back to what I have just said. Is today the day? Is this year the year? Is this the time that you decide to stand up and take back your country, a country that people in rags fought for hundreds of years ago, so that we could stand here today and ask that question again? Because apparently us fighting for our revolution the first time wasn't enough. We're going to have to fight the second revolution. Because the first time we were getting rid of an imperial government who at that time was the most powerful government in the world, the British colonies. This time it appears that we are trying to overturn what appears to be the overturning of our country to a communistic country where the Chinese and the Russians are the ones who have the control over me and you. And we have no voice, we have no choice. So now, is it now time for you, America, that you will stand up and make a decision, or is it time that you're wanting to sit back and just accept your new communist political party, or accept your new king, your new monarch, your new dictator? Which way are we going to take it? Because I tell you, we can't do this again. This time around, if we get this wrong, we won't have another opportunity. America may just be America in name, but it won't be America, the one that we created, the one that we wanted. And for me, it damn sure ain't the one I was told existed when I was growing up. It's not the one I was told existed when I went into the military. Is it time for you because it's been time for
Catch
me.
Catch me on Huntsville Black.
So my name is Sherry Saunders.
That's Huntsville
and I'm
Black.
One of the team members here at the Grassroots Mouthpiece Organization.
Let your voice be heard.
Today you've heard Jill
Black.
Simpson and Jim March Simpson, both courageous heroes of this country who have their entire lives done for people and done for their state and their citizens,
the
their friends, their community. They have
Tuesday
done the work. It's your turn. It's your turn to make a decision on whether or not you want to do the work. Are you willing to ask questions? Are you willing to show up at the polls? And are you willing, more than anything, to make a stand that you will not take corruption anymore? Because we're running out of time. They're trying to force these vaccines down our throat. They're going to tell you that you got to have it for safety. Well, when does it become that they tell you you got to have a certain candidate for safety? That if you don't vote for this person, that this is going to happen? Because I tell you, if you want to vote Hillary Clinton in, you might as well hand your kids over to the state. Because you won't get to keep your kids. You won't get to raise them. Because as Hillary said, it takes a community. And her community is state-sponsored camp that your kids will be growing up in so that they can grow up right, so that they have been given their information, so that they don't have to be re-educated in another education camp like they educating those poor folks over there in China right now who decided that they wanted to stand up and they wanted to fight for their freedom. And those people that stood up and fought for their freedom is now sitting at the bottom of a pit, burnt to ashes, because if they weren't sick with the coronavirus, they damn sure are dead. Because China took this opportunity to create a situation of a bioweapon. They released the bioweapon so that they could take care of the people and the freedom fighters in their country.